Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For the next two lessons, I want us to dwell upon God's attitude toward adultery and apostasy. God is very displeased at adultery and apostasy. I don't know of any passage of Scripture that's any more emphatic that shows this to be the truth than what we read in Ezekiel chapter 16, where the Lord was speaking through the prophet to the people who were guilty of their abominations in idolatry, in adultery, in apostasy, when they were doing things that the Lord had commanded them not to do. This is what he had to say. Listen attentively to it. "Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee, and I will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee, as women that break wedlock, and shed blood that are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy, and I will also give thee unto their hand, and they shall throw down thine intimate place, and break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and take thee from thee thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall bring up a company against thee, and shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thy houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou shalt give no hire any more. So I will make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry." Friend, this presents God's attitude toward a sinful people who were guilty of adultery and apostasy. He characterizes apostasy as adultery. In this instance, the people were a special disappointment to God because this was spoken to the nation of Judah. God had preserved this nation and this people through the ages because it was through them that the Messiah was to come. When northern Israel was overrun by the Assyrians, God protected Judah and its capital from being overthrown. Yet, in spite of the vivid demonstration before them what sin does to a nation, Judah persisted in the ways of evil and was now on the brink of destruction. And God describes them. The prophet Ezekiel, who spoke to the people of Judah before the Babylonian captivity, he speaks again. The first 24 chapters of his book deal with the coming destruction of the sinfulness of the nation. The theme of those chapters might well be called Jerusalem Must Fall. And chapter 16 is a warning to the people of their coming punishment. It would certainly come corresponding to their sins. In other words, their land was doomed, and their damnation was self-imposed. Now, Judah is pictured here as a harlot, a prostitute, one who is guilty of whoredom. And this was true of the people of the nation, both physically and spiritually. The people engaged in fornication, in adultery, all manner of sexual perversion, such as would characterize heathen people, such as characterizes a lot of people of our own nation even today. Not only were they guilty of this sin of the flesh, they were guilty of heathen religions and worship practices that come from the minds of men serving false gods, guilty of idolatry, all manner of unfaithfulness to God, such as is characteristic of many in our own society today. Friend, we must remember that the people of Judah belonged to God. They were His people. They were the descendants of Abraham. They were His chosen ones. And therefore, they were expected to be faithful to God, as a wife is expected to be faithful to her husband. And yet, Judah had not kept the vows of fidelity, and it was accurate to picture Judah as a harlot. Now, who had been Judah's lovers? With whom had she committed all of these abominable practices? Well, they were the surrounding nations, the nations of idolatry, like Assyria and Babylon and Egypt and some of the others. Judah had partaken of their ways and neglected and totally abandoned God's ways. They have adopted the very things that God prohibited. And this was the result of their flagrant violation of God's laws, and because of their gross disobedience to God's laws. The prophet Ezekiel explains that because of Judah's spiritual adultery, God would punish Judah. She would be humiliated before all the nations. She had dishonored herself. She had brought shame on her name. That's characteristic of those who are so immoral. She would soon be loathsome even to her former lovers, so-called lovers. But what was worse, she was an abomination before God to whom she belonged. And the Lord said Judah would be treated as a woman who breaks the vows of wedlock. Now, under the Mosaic law, adulterers were stoned to death. Now, that's not true under the law of Jesus Christ, but that was the law under the law of Moses. And Judah would also be destroyed. And it's a historical fact that Judah's downfall did come literally by stoning. The Babylonians took huge stones and hurled them against the walls of their city and their buildings until it crushed everything throughout. The national dignity of the nation was torn asunder and was ruined because of their self-imposed damnation. Still being considered as a harlot, her desecration would be so complete that she would become so hideous before everybody that she would not be desirable to anybody. And such is the picture of a wicked nation. A nation that did reap what the nation had sown. Reduced from her former glory, she was now to be overcome because of her sins and would exist in distress and in doom. And those who were once God's people, they had brought this upon themselves. Oh, my dear people, can we not see God's attitude toward those who would live in such a fashion and do the things that they were doing? Now, they're valuable lessons for us from the mistakes of Judah. And we observe God's attitude toward them and the way that He deals with them. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Paul wrote again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let us learn. Let us see what is intended to be learned." Dear friend, Proverbs 14:34 teaches us, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people." There are so many in our society who just obviously don't believe that. They have no qualm whatsoever to be guilty of adultery. They are not loyal to their wedding vows. They do not keep wedlock in its honored place. And there be even some today who have so perverted the teachings of God and so followed their own sensual ambitions that they call something marriage that's not even close to marriage as far as God defines it. Let us learn something. God has taught us that marriage is between one man and one woman and is intended to be till death do them part. Now that's what God says. That's what the Bible teaches. Now I know that there'll be those who come along and they have a man-man relationship and they call that marriage. Or they'll have a woman and a woman relationship and they call that a marriage. Well, friend, they might call it a marriage, but before God, it's an abomination. It's not a marriage. Just to call it a marriage does not make it a marriage. You know, sometimes people get such distorted ideas in their head. They think that, well, whatever I say and whatever I do, why, that is what's going to be what's right, and that will distinguish it from what's wrong. Let me reason with you. If I see a cow out here in the meadow, and I say, there is a horse, does that make that cow a horse? Simply because I call that cow a horse, does that make the cow a horse? Well, a lot of people don't have any more sense than to do that when it comes to the matter of marriage. Here they have a relationship that God condemns, a relationship that is an abomination before God, a relationship that is called harlotry and fornication, and yet they will say this is a marriage. Well, it may be a marriage in their perverted and depraved thinking, but it's not a marriage before God. And there's no amount of clamor on the part of people who want to change the definition of marriage to suit them, and it will not be changed. And when people are guilty of adultery, when they are not faithful to their mate, when they engage in sexual perversions outside of marriage, when they engage in sexual satisfaction outside of marriage, dear friend, they are sinning before God, and God will not look lightly upon that. Do we not learn that from the reading of the prophet Ezekiel? Is that not the theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation regarding the relationship of marriage? Indeed it is. You know, Jesus Christ used marriage to illustrate his relationship between himself and his church. It's not a perverted relationship. It's one man, one woman, and that's the way God has stated. That's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes again, regardless of what people think, regardless of what the courts of the land might say, regardless of the laws that Congress might pass, regardless of the practices of people. It's still going to be just exactly that way when God judges all men. And if we be wise, we will learn from the things that we learned from the past. We see what God thinks of that kind of behavior. And we, if we be wise as we sort of think ourselves to be wise, we will follow what the Lord says rather than to follow the inclinations of sinful and depraved minds that will teach mankind to simply do your own thing and go your own way. Oh, what a pitiful history, pitiful, 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 the nation of Judah. They had every opportunity to learn what was right, but they turned to idolatry. They engaged in spiritual and physical adultery to their own damnation. Let us learn. Let us not follow that path. Let us not be led by those who would lead us in that path. Dear friend, the way of the Lord is right. Anything that's at variance with it is wrong. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.